Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really, really glad you're listening today. We're going to talk today about what it means to choose to believe God's promises in this day that we live, in our circumstances that we're actually walking through, because it's true. The headlines can be unsettling. Our lives can feel like they're shaking. But truer still is that God's promises are true for us. He promises to make a way where there is no way. And they're true even when they don't feel true. And he's true even when we can't sense his presence. So honored and grateful to have our friend, author and pastor Max Lucado with us on the program today. He reminds us that we can choose to shine the light and trust God no matter what's happening in our culture. And here's an excerpt from the opening pages of his fantastic book, Glory Days. And by the way, if your faith just needs a shot in the arm, if you feel like you've been looking down for too long, rehearsing and rehashing the news headlines to the point where you've got, you know, your gut in a knot, I want you to read his book, Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now, because that will stir your soul. It'll compel you to look up. But he writes, are you investing in the currency of heaven? The world economy is going down. Your wallet is full of soon-to-be useless paper. The currency of this world will be worth nothing when you die or when Christ returns, both of which could happen at any moment. If you and I stockpile earthly treasures and not heavenly treasures, what does that say about where we're putting our trust? Glory days happen to the degree that we trust him. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Max Lucado is a leading inspirational author in the U.S. His writings have been shaped into best-selling books, videos, devotionals, greeting cards, Bible studies, commentaries, and theatrically released movies. More than 121 million Lucado products have been printed in 54 languages, including 92 million books to date. Can you fathom those numbers? Max and his wife, Denilyn, call San Antonio, Texas home, where he serves the people of Oak Hills Church. He has for 25 years. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Pastor Max, welcome back to the program.
Oh, you're so kind to have me on.
So, Max, you've been on the show plenty of times to know that we love starting with Scripture, and I know you love God's Word. Is there a passage you've been thinking about these days?
A passage that ministered to me a lot this morning was actually a story, the story of the woman who poured the alabaster bottle of perfume over the head of Christ before he was crucified during his final week. And remember, the disciples objected because they said this could have been sold and the money given to the poor. But Jesus came to her defense and said she was actually preparing my body for burial. Quite honestly, when I woke up this morning, I was cranky. We're in the middle of a move. We're moving from one house to the next. I'm preaching starting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll be preaching. And I thought, what was I doing? And I was tired and cranky. And so that passage told me, I sensed the Lord saying, Max, your job is just to pour kindness over the body of Christ, like she did, and I'll take care of the rest. And that ministered to me because I thought, well, I can do that. I mean, I can at least do that. I can just pour goodness, pour kindness over the body of Christ, and hopefully a fragrance will be emitted into society. So I don't think I have a particular verse, but that story really ministered to me today.
I love it. And that's exactly, Max, why we ask that question, because we make this faith journey so complicated at times. And, you know, kindness, it's a fruit of the Spirit. I think we forget that so much more rests on his shoulders than on ours. He does the heavy lifting. His yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Love that.
You know, isn't it true, Max? I know from my own life, his burden and his yoke seem heavy and not light at all, burdensome, actually, when I attach my angst and my stuff to what he's assigned. And somehow I've got to just keep learning to separate the two, you know? Wow.
Well, a few months ago, I watched the movie War Room. Mm. Have you seen that movie?
Like 5 times. love it.
Well, I kind of got on the bandwagon late. I'm not sure how I missed it when it first came out, but I did see it on Netflix, and so I watched it, I want to say like last November, and I was really both comforted and convicted.
Mm.
I was convicted because I realized I had not been giving my burdens to God. And there's that phrase in the movie, God will do the heavy lifting. And I realized I'm carrying too much. And so I was convicted, and then I was comforted because I thought, well, God will help me. And so almost without exception, since that movie, since last November, I've done better at going into my little prayer closet, although we're in a new house and I haven't laid claim to a closet yet. We just moved on Monday. Mm. But I will.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And so, but I do better, and it's amazing the difference when every morning, if I take time and say, okay, Lord, here are the burdens I carry, here are the burdens my loved ones carry, here's the burden of the church where I serve. And then throughout the day, Susie, when those burdens begin to surface in my mind, I think, oh, yeah, I've already given that to God. Oh, yeah, I've already turned that over to Him. And it is amazing. It's an unspeakable load off my shoulders when I do that.
I can't remember if I've told you this story before, but when I was a young mom and I was battling Lyme disease and our medical debt was through the roof, I mean, truly to the point where we thought we might lose our home. We didn't, but it was hanging on by a thread. 3 little kids and just feeling so sick. And so anxiety was a constant companion for me. And I remember one day just crying out to God, going, I can't raise 3 little babies with this disease that's stealing so much of my strength, with this constant threat and fear over my head. And the Lord just whispered to my heart, He said, Susie, worry and faith are like opposing forces, and you have to turn your back on one to behold the other. And I seriously turned around. It's like I turned my back just so I could visually picture myself saying, okay, then, I have legitimate reason to worry, but you say I have legitimate reason for faith. And I turned my back on that worry and just decided to trust Him. And things actually got worse before they got better, but peace did enter my soul. I mean, it was like a supernatural transaction. And I'm thinking about the days that we live in, Max. I mean, I know you would agree that things seem like they're speeding up and accelerating to such a degree that, again, we could say we have far more legitimate reasons to worry. But it seems when we stare at those things, we sort of reduce our theology to the circumstance. Like we lessen our expectancy of what God might do. But your book, Glory Days, really encourages us to do the opposite, to upgrade our faith, not decrease or, you know, downgrade. I'd love you just to speak to that.
Yeah. Well, you're right in the sense that we do have ample reason to be anxious. I mean, you don't have to watch news for more than 5 minutes, and we're seeing atrocities that cause anxiety to stir in all of our hearts. This is a time in which the world desperately needs a population of people who are following faith rather than heeding their fears. We desperately need, you know, faith is contagious and fear is contagious. And if I live a life of fear, then I'm going to spread fear everywhere I go. I'm going to convince people that they need to be anxious. But if I can be a person of faith, a person who, and faith is not naivete. Faith is not a blindness to the difficulties and problems of life. But faith is that attitude that says, okay, Jesus said, in this world, there will be tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Faith is the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, who said, you intended to harm me, but God has used it for good. So faith is that attitude that keeps a but God, right in the middle of our sentences. And so that's what faith is. And I would agree with you, Susie, that our world is facing fears that are unprecedented. Our generation is under attack, and we desperately need people who can calmly and faithfully respond to the challenges of the day.
You know, I wonder, you know, I've been thinking lately about the passage that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the rest of it. You often hear that part preached, but the rest of it is, and they loved not their lives, even unto death. I think somehow we need to become acquainted with that mindset. Our persecuted brothers and sisters get it from the get-go, that if I say yes to Jesus, I may be ending my life. I might lose my life in moments or days. But I think in this, we've been so blessed in this nation with freedom and wealth that we love our lives to the point that we fear losing those lives. I want you to make that connection, because in some ways, this can be Egypt if we love this life more than we think eternity. You know what I'm saying? Where we're hanging and clinging to our comforts to a fault, that it causes fear that we may lose them.
Yeah, and especially, you know, at this time of the year when there's an election cycle, and there's a sense of anxiety that if we don't have somebody in the Oval Office who represents our values and our faith, then the country's going to go over the edge. It even more accentuates the anxiety that we have. The truth of the matter is, of course, we would all want somebody in political office who reflects biblical values, but God is not dependent upon the Oval Office to do his work. Just ask our brothers and sisters in China or in North Korea, who are in the Middle East, people who are strong believers, but they live in the middle of a culture that is hostile to their faith. And there's no guarantee, Susie, that we won't be there in a generation. We don't know. Our culture's changing so quickly that we could be in a country that is hostile to the Christian faith. And we need to be reminded, like you just said, that we are foreigners and exiles on earth. This world in its current state is not our home, that our citizenship is in heaven, and that we serve a king who rules over all the affairs of mankind, regardless of who sits in the Oval Office or who sits in any earthly position of leadership. And so we've enjoyed prosperity as a country. We've been blessed to have a country that is compatible with the Christian faith. And may the Lord bless it, forgive us, and extend it. Mm. Man, that is my deepest prayer.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, you know what? We're going to be okay. The Bible was written for days like this. And the Bible was written during, you know, there's nothing in the New Testament days of a government endorsing the Christian faith. Just the opposite. The people who were writing and reading those epistles were people who were persecuted, and yet their lives were rich and full of faith, not absent of struggle, but still full of faith. And the Bible was written during days like that, and written to help us face days like that.
Talking to author Pastor Max Lucado, title of his amazing book, Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about a blog post that surprised Max. He posted just his thoughts on this current election and candidates, and there was such response. If I remember right, his server crashed 6 times. We're going to just chat a little bit about that, what that was like for Max, how he felt about the response, and just how we move forward with hearts of faith as God's people, because his promises are true regardless of what we're seeing in the headlines. Not to say we deny what's going on, but we say, hey, truer still are God's promises and his faithfulness. Don't go away. More with Max Lucado when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored and blessed to be talking to our friend Max Lucado, author of the book Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now. He writes, Egypt represents our days before salvation. We were in bondage to sin. We wore the leg irons of guilt and death. But then came our deliverer, Jesus Christ. By his grace and in his power, we crossed the Red Sea. He liberated us from the old life and offered a brand new life in Canaan. Our promised land isn't a physical territory. It is a spiritual reality. It's not real estate, but a real state of the heart and mind. Max, you wrote a blog post about decency and really speaking to the political process right now that we're in. Talk a little bit about just your thoughts in writing the blog post and the response you received.
It was with great hesitancy I wrote it. I really delight writing blog posts. This week I wrote one on the resurrection, and I loved writing that one. But writing about the Donald Trump candidacy was something I felt like I should do. And the reason, Susie, is not because I consider myself an expert in politics, but I was deeply bothered by the way that Mr. Trump would hold up a Bible one day and then make fun of a reporter's menstrual cycle the next, or the way Mr. Trump would call himself a Christian, and to use his phrase, a really, really good Christian. And then when asked what he needs to ask God for forgiveness for, he couldn't think of anything. He said he doesn't need forgiveness. And so I was just stunned. I lived with this unsettledness in my heart for several days. And finally I thought, you know, I'm just going to say something. Because if a person calls himself or herself a Christian, especially a leader, then we in the church, and I would be on this list, I need to be held to a higher level of accountability. And if Mr. Trump is going to call himself a Christian, then he needs to speak in a fashion that would reflect the heart of Christ. Nobody does this perfectly, but Mr. Trump seems to be raising a standard of indecency when it comes to the way he talks about people. I even have parents who tell me that when Mr. Trump speaks, they cover their ears of their children. And I thought, this is, and if he calls himself a Christian, now if he just identified himself as a secular candidate, I would never consider saying anything. But if he's going to call himself a Christian, then I felt like somebody needed to say something. Well, like you say, we never expected the response that we had. We had 15 million reads on the blog, and like you said, our server went down half a dozen times. I think we've got it fixed now. and a lot of the response was positive, but a good significant portion of it was not. There are many Christians who just felt like I was, you know, it was inappropriate for me to say anything. It's an ongoing conversation, I think, that the Christian community is having right now.
It's so tricky, Max, because I was just talking to my producer about this. There is not only groupthink has such a huge sway in our day, but there's a bully process if you don't jump on the bandwagon. I mean, you conveyed yourself. I read the article in a humble, gracious way, and you were comparing to saying, if there were young men that were going to date my daughters, I would ask for a certain mode of decency. Can I ask that from my president? It was gracious and it was humble. And for people to jump on you because you're just saying that someone who makes fun of people in this way or speaks in such a prideful way, I don't see it. I'm seeing a disconnect here. I mean, this is America. I mean, that's the part for me that's so unnerving, and I'm constantly on my knees for our nation.
Yeah.
Let's talk for a moment here about, you say two of the reasons that we tend to live out of our weakness instead of out of our inheritance. Because side note here, I think people are jumping because they're afraid, because they don't want to lose their life as they know it now, which I understand, but it's because of these two points. As you write, we don't know about our inheritance. We don't believe in our inheritance. So make the case, especially for Christians nowadays, why we need to be thinking bigger than what we're living right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking that, because unique to the Christian faith is the promise that when we give our hearts to Christ, he returns the favor and he gives his heart to us. Now, to be a Christian is not like joining a Rotary Club. It's not like we're putting our name on some organization's membership list. We are blessed and beneficiaries of a supernatural miracle, and that is we are placed in the family of God. Our spiritual DNA is changed. Christ places his heart inside of us. And so this means that you know, the scripture from 1 John, what love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. We're not just members of God's army, but we're part of God's family. So this means that we have access to the spiritual blessings. We are heirs, the apostle says, yes, even co-heirs with Christ. So all the blessings that Christ has access to, I have access to. And this means faith. This means encouragement. This means hope. This means love. And so while we as Christians, have fear knocking at our door, we don't have to answer the door. I mean, we can answer with faith. And like the old preacher I heard say once, if fear knocks at the door, just turn to Jesus and say, would you answer that for me?
My dad's coming.
Hey, we'll send Christ to get that one.
Yeah.
And we can do that. Mm. We can do that. And so that, to me, is what it means to live out of our inheritance. Not out of our circumstance, but out of our inheritance. And so in a day like ours, where we do have reason to be anxious, we as Christians have reason to be people of courage. And to live out of our inheritance means that we choose to trust him rather than heed our fears.
You know, Max, with the misuse, I would say, of the health, prosperity, wealth gospel, I think some have allowed the pendulum to swing so far the other way that they embrace a worm theology. And I with all my heart, believe scripture that talks about that he draws near to the humble. He distances himself from the proud. We've got a hard break coming out, a minute and a half here, so you might want to take the rest of this answer on the other side. But there is a measure of promised land living that we get to have now, and then there's a greater measure in heaven. Make the distinction here, because worm theology, sometimes it morphs into this false humility. We already have reason to be humble, so we don't have to be falsely humble. But maybe make that distinction, if you would, for us.
Well, worm theology is that phrase that suggests that I have it's just the opposite of prosperity theology,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Prosperity theology says I deserve everything. Worm theology says I don't deserve anything. Well, both of those are lies. We don't deserve everything. We deserve to be punished. But what we celebrate on Good Friday and Easter Sunday is the message that even though God could punish me, he chose to punish his son. And so I've been delivered from what I deserve. So the worm theology says I don't deserve anything. Well, we must deserve something because we've been placed in the family of God and we're cherished and known by him.
Amazing. Someone once said, of course we're not worthy, but Jesus says we're worth it. And that's a great distinction. Talking to Max Lucado, when we come back, we'll talk more about what it means to walk in promised land living now, to believe his promises now for your current circumstances. Don't go away. More with Max when we return.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Hi, I'm Neil Stavem, and I'm excited to be part of the Live Free Challenge this August. Join me along with Faith Radio and thousands of others as we walk, run, and bike in the month of August to support an incredible organization, International Justice Mission. You know, people often ask what they can do to help end human trafficking. Well, this August, your miles will make a difference. Whether you log hundreds of miles or walk a few, every mile matters when it helps to end human trafficking. Get involved at livefreechallenge.org.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Conquered it all. Isn't that great news? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise. So blessed to have Max Lucado on with us today. He's got back-to-back interviews, so for him to squeeze us in is just a great blessing. Talking about his book, Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now. And Max, my hubby and I just had the best prayer time this morning. And he was saying, you know, everywhere you look, you see things just shaking. He said, I just feel like God is just again charging me to be the man that he's called me to be in my sphere of influence. I can pray about the world. I can fret about the world. I'm going to keep praying, but he's like, I'm going to be the guy who keeps paying my bills, who keeps loving my wife and leading my family and being excellent at work and just stewarding my plot of land in hopes that others will see the countenance of Christ on my face. And I loved that because I feel like if each of us, I mean, we can shake our fist at where the nation is going, or we can ask God, you know, help me have a personal revival so that people can ask me about the hope. I'd love for you to speak to that, because I've seen that theme in a lot of your books about help me be the guy, help me be the gal that you've called me to be. And in the greater scheme of things, that makes all the difference.
Well, it sounds like you're married to a fine man.
Yeah, I sure am.
I know many ladies would love to have that kind of spiritual leadership in their home. I'd see that a lot. Mm. May God raise up more and more men like that. And I think that spiritual covering that a man can provide to his wife and to his home is an unspeakable, unspeakable blessing.
Indeed.
Just in the last couple of days, I've sat down with a couple of single moms, and they don't want to be single right now, and it's certainly not a consequence of anything they've done. It's just some tragedy came into their life, but they're praying that God would bring a good, godly, spiritual leader into their homes. And so may the Lord provide that for them and for the many, many listeners who hear a story like yours and long for the same. And I encouraged them. I said, you know, God will be the husband to you until that husband comes along. And so I encouraged them to be faithful and to not give up. In the meantime, all of us are in the middle of a society that is really polluted, and it's a poison society in which we live. One of the burdens of social media and of instant access to technology is that every single one of us is just a turn of the button or the click of a mouse away from images and messages that 50 years ago a person would have had to really maneuver their world around to get. And now young people, old people alike have access to images and messages that have no business in our hearts. So we have to be vigilant and we have to be diligent. But the good news is we live in a day which, because of the same technology, we have access to radio programs and like yours, sermons, Christian music. We can fill our hearts and our cars with messages that change our lives. I was talking to a lady the other day who has a 90-minute commute. I felt so sorry for her when she told me that. It was after a church service. She came up and wanted to introduce herself. But the reason she said she wanted to introduce herself, she said, is because I take this 90-minute commute and I turn it into a worship service. And so initially she said, I resented having that long drive, 90 minutes in the morning, 90 minutes in the evening. But now I look forward to it. She said, I listen to Christian music. I listen to sermons. She said, I listen to the Bible on tape, audio Bible. And it's become a life-changing experience for me. And I thought, there's a woman who is guarding her heart, who's taking advantage of every opportunity to enter into her promised land. And it was in the context of discussing the children of Israel, how they stepped into the promised land, and they chose to heed God instead of heeding their fears, and it changed their lives. And we have the opportunity to do that. And it basically comes down to these daily decisions of opening our hearts up to what God is telling us to do today.
Wow, great story, Max. And I'm thinking of the passage, and I'm going to get it wrong, but something, who may ascend to the holy hill, you know, he with clean hands, pure heart, and who does not sit in the seat of the scoffer or the mocker. And I remember years ago just pondering that and was watching a conservative talk host on TV, and I felt the check in my spirit. I'm a conservative Christian. I vote conservatively, but he had just a mocking way about him. And I just felt that check. Yeah. It's like, you know what? I'm a Christian first. And I had to turn it off because it wasn't good for me.
Yeah.
And you have a chapter in Glory Days about titled Take Heed to the Voice You Heed. And again, I think if we fall into the group think, we check our discernment at the door. So speak to that, taking heed to the voice you heed.
Yeah. And again, this election cycle, it causes us to just get increasingly anxious because we listen to one news broadcast after the other, and we live in a day in which there's 24-hour news, and we can easily get sucked into people who are more panic than we are peace. One of the things that God told Joshua at the very beginning, in Joshua chapter 1, God commanded Joshua to heed the word of God, to meditate on it day and night. before he talked to Joshua. In fact, I can't find any reference in the book of Joshua to God telling Joshua how to, you know, what military tactic or weapon to use or how many soldiers. But he was very careful to urge his general to meditate on God's word. And this is something that we can do, every single one of us. We can meditate on God's word. Susie, sometimes I have trouble sleeping. I always have, my whole life.
Me too, me too.
Really?
It's a bummer, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah. And I can relate. And I don't, it typically, I will wake up at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know why. And I've done that for years. And I've made the most wonderful discovery, though. Instead of lying there and being anxious, I take my cell phone and I open up the Bible app. Just says Holy Bible, Bible app. I know that Craig Groeschel and his group there in Oklahoma City have created it. And it's a wonderful tool. And it gives me instant access to all the many versions of the Bible. So I'll just pick a version and a favorite chapter, and I'll lie there.
Great
idea. And I think, here I am at 2 in the morning, but I'm listening to Philippians chapter 3, or I'm listening to a psalm. And it's just wonderful how it comforts me. And next thing I know, I've drifted off to sleep. And it's just the power, the Holy Spirit working through his word to comfort his people. You know, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we all aspire for, is to live a life in which we're anxious for nothing. And I think it's possible, I do, but it can happen to the degree that we heed God's voice and we turn our concerns over to him.
Mm, so good. In the last handful of my speaking events, I've just asked, you know, who of you are walking through a storm or love someone who is? And without fail, 90% of the hands go up every single time. And this is just seems to be the day that we're in, that things are being shaken. And when I'm on my flight home from speaking events, Max, my fun is just to pick up a Christian novel. And I love ones with a little bit of suspense and twists and turns. And but you notice if you read a novel, there are moments and chapters in the story that for that Christian person, it doesn't seem like the promises are their reality. But we're like, you know, oh, we're only partway through the story. Hang in there. I mean, if you had a way to speak into that character. Yeah. But it's the same for us when we're walking through a storm and it seems like his promises don't match our circumstances. I think we forget that we're in a chapter, but the story's still being written. And I'm wondering if you have a word of encouragement for that person listening today who is tempted to get offended with God, to say, well, everybody else seems to be skating right now, but I certainly am not. His promises aren't true for me here because I don't see any evidence of that. What word would you have for them?
I would encourage the person to remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite stories. And years ago, I wrote a book called You'll Get Through This. And it had to do with following the life of Joseph and how many occasions Joseph could have given up on God. His brother sold him into slavery. Yet when he was sold into slavery, he became the best servant in the household of Potiphar. But then Potiphar's wife put the move on him, and Joseph refused to give in, and so he ended up in prison. And then, the baker and the who's the other guy?
The cupbearer.
That he interpreted their dreams, and one of them promised to remember him to Pharaoh. But then 2 years passed, and he was still languishing in prison, but he never gave up. And finally, he was promoted to be the prime minister of Egypt. And now we understand why, because of the famine, Joseph was there to protect Egypt and also to protect the lineage of Christ, to protect his own brothers. And so there were so many times in which Joseph could have given up, but he didn't. He didn't. And at the end of his life, he told his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended to use it for good. And there are seasons in our life in which we're wondering, what is God doing? But if we'll just be faithful, hold on to our faith, we can believe that God will use it for good. You know, Susie, I remember a story that you told sometime in a interview years ago, and it really touched my heart. And it had to do with something your father said when your was it your little brother?
He's my big brother. Yes.
Your
wow.
Brother.
What a memory, Max.
Do you remember that story?
Yeah. Yeah, and my brother, my older brother, well, actually a bully came by and was, he'd been relentlessly picking on my brother. I was just like 4 years old, but he was my older brother, but he was still pretty young. I want to say he was probably 8 or 9, maybe. I don't know. And, my dad was watching him out the window, so I crawled up on the counter to see what he was looking at. And this bully and he were going at it. And I'm like, I kept tugging on his arm, go save him. And he did not take his eye off of my brother. And he said, I'm not going to let him lose, but I have to let him fight. And that really impacted me as a little girl, and I've needed that so many times in the years to come, you know?
I love that story because I think that's a healthy understanding of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. God is not going to let us lose. I really don't think so. I think there is absolute guaranteed victory for the child of God, and we'll enjoy it for all of eternity. But he has to let us fight because that fight develops our character, develops our strength. There's something in that test, something in that struggle that develops a deeper faith. And so I'm sure there's listeners today who find themselves in a fight, and you're wondering if your father's watching. Well, he is. But this fight is a part of his character development program. We don't like it, but it's essential. There's something you're going through today and something you're developing today that you'll need eventually. So just keep fighting. Don't give up. And God will get you through.
Love that. I seem to remember in the Old Testament where it talked about that God left giants in the land, in the promised land, so the Israelites would know how to fight. And when I'm thinking about the giants that I've had to face down, I'm going to refer to your friend Randy Frazee, who's also been on the show. I love his phrase where he says, hey, no pun intended. I love Frazee's phrase. Anyway, where he says, when you purchase it in your heart. I love that, where he talks about when you get a promise and a truth and you purchase it in your heart. In other words, you make it your own. And Max, I have to say, in my battles and face downs with giants, I've had to purchase something in my heart, but then it's mine. And don't you think that the battle does that for us?
You know, going through that battle is sometimes what cements it, right?
Yeah.
It solidifies it in our heart. You know, Jesus said that there's two kinds of people, those who build their house on the sand and those who build their house on the rock. To build your house on the rock, that's an intentional decision. It's a lot easier to build your house on the sand because you have easier access to it. But if you have to build a house on the rock, that means you've got to climb up the rock. You've got to go through all the inconveniences of getting all your supplies up on the rock. But it's a decision that you make, and it's a decision that pays long-term benefits. And I think every day in our marriages, in our faith, in our lives, we're either standing on sand or standing on the rock. And so let's do things today, take steps today that will get us up on the rock and build our life upon God's promises and not upon the circumstances of the world.
Indeed. Well, we just got you for a couple more minutes. I have to read this powerful faith declaration from Glory Days and have you just say a word about it, and then we'll wrap it up in prayer. But I love this. Wish we could all memorize this. These days are glory days. My past is past. My future is bright. God's promises are true, and his word is sure. With God as my helper, I will be all he wants me to be, do all he wants me to do, and receive all he wants me to receive. These days are glory days. Do you want to say a word about that before we pray?
I think that's just a decision that we make.
Yeah.
You know, we can assume that the world is in terrible shape, or we can assume that God is on the throne. We can assume that it's the Oval Office that determines history, or we can assume that it's the resurrected King of Kings who determines history. And Glory Day people, Promised Land people, determine they're going to place their faith in God. We want things to go right on earth, but if they don't, that's okay, because we know there is a God in heaven.
Max, I don't have words to express my gratitude for your contribution to the kingdom story and all the many people you've encouraged that you'd make time for us in the midst of a move, a weekend full of sermons. I can't even express to you how grateful.
I'm honored. I'm honored. This is so much fun. It's a great honor. It really is.
Love talking with you. As we wrap up, would you pray for that person walking through the valley of the shadow?
Okay, Lord, let your blessings please be upon every person who hears this sweet 6-week conversation today, and may this conversation bring you honor. And if we've inadvertently said something that offends somebody, we pray you'd forgive us for that. And we ask your blessings, Lord, upon those who are passing through times of difficulty or seasons of stress. And like Susie said, and like her father said, that you're not going to let us lose, but sometimes you do let us fight. And so we hang on, Father, to that promise. We stand upon that promise, and we bless you because you're a good God, and we believe that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Max, thank you again for your time today, and we wish you God's best.
All the very best, Susie.
Thank you again. I've been talking to Max Lucado, title of his book, Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now. Pausing to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to share a few highlights from Glory Days and just a song that's been near and dear to my heart about hanging on to Jesus, walking when the way seems long, trusting that God will fulfill his promises for us. Don't go away. More when we come back. Welcome back. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. If you just tuned in, you missed my conversation with our friend Max Lucado, talking about his book, Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now. I'm going to just take a few moments here to share a couple of the highlights from this book. Such an impactful book. Max writes, "We share the same inheritance as Christ. Our portion isn't a pittance. We don't inherit leftovers. We don't wear hand-me-downs. We aren't left out in the cold with the distant cousins. In the traditions of Paul's day, the firstborn son received a double portion while the rest of the siblings divvied up the remainder. But not so with Christ. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. Christ's portion is our portion. Whatever he has, we have. Think of what this means. Jesus cashed checks out of a boundless account. Grudges didn't corrode him. Despair didn't control him. Mood swings couldn't touch his joy. His conviction was bulletproof. He was the Fort Knox of faith. And when we give our hearts to him, he hands us the checkbook." I want you to think about when the scripture tells us that everything he has belongs to us and why we so often live like that's not true. I think it's because we don't understand the depth and the breadth of this truth. And I think we as Christ followers who are on a pilgrimage to a most holy land must make it our aim to know who it is that God is, who he says we are. What does that mean for us? Here's another quote from Glory Days. Max says, "The new life in Canaan is a life defined by grace. It's refined by challenge. It's aligned with the heavenly call. In God's plan, in God's land, we win more often than we lose. We forgive as quickly as we're offended, and we give as abundantly as we receive." He says, "We may stumble, but we do not collapse. We may struggle, but we defy despair. We boast only in Christ, trust only in God, lean wholly on his power, and we enjoy abundant fruit and increasing faith. But there's only one condition. We must turn our backs on the wilderness, on the defeated Christian life. There's got to be a point when we decide to stop being the pessimists, stop looking at the glass as half empty, stop complaining about the tear in our shirt when the promised land is right in front of us and ahead of us." Well, here in just a moment, I want to have you listen to Meredith Andrews, my precious friend. She's got a new album out titled Deeper. This particular song is Hands That Are Holding Me. And I want you to hear this because you might be in a valley. A lot of friends are walking through deep valleys of suffering right now. He's holding you. He's got you. He is intended on getting you home safely. But the part that belongs to us is our hearts of faith, to dare to trust him, to know that he is good, that we are royal heirs of the throne, even if we feel like beggars at the moment. Even if we feel like beggars, the truth is we are heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ. I want you just to pause what you're doing and listen to the Meredith song. Let it in, because God is good. He is who he says he is. Listen in.
In the silence, in the waiting, with the promise in the making, I will cling to what I know is true. In the sorrow, in the struggle, when my heart is torn and troubled, I will cling to what I know is true. I've seen the glimpses, I've heard the whispers of all that is to come. My eyes will see the glory. In the shifting, in the shadows, when my fears tempt me to follow, I will cling to what I know is true. I've seen the glimpses, I've heard the whispers of all that is to come. My eyes will see.
To Live a Promise, I'm Susie Larson. I pray today's show deeply, profoundly encouraged you to remember who you are because of who Jesus is. Be blessed today, and remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.